It was April the 41st, being a quadruple leap year. I was driving in downtown Atlantis. My Barracuda was in the shop, so I was in a rented Stingray, and it was overheating. So I pulled into a Shell station. They said I'd blown a seal. I said, fix the damn thing and leave my private life out of it, okay, pal? While they were doing that, I walked over to a place called the Oyster Bar, a real dive. But I knew the owner. He used to play for the Dolphins. I said, hi, Gil! You have to yell, he's hard of hearing.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to Jedi's and Jedi.
Hi, what?
Sorry, I had to cough too.
What?
Damn,
hi everyone, welcome to Well, did you need something?
No, I had a little itch in my throat.
Oh, okay, well, hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of Jedi's and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Easy there, Grievous. In this episode, when the king of Mon Cala is assassinated, talks break down between the Mon Calamari people and the Quarren, co-inhabitants of the aquatic world. It's up to stop a civil war. The Republic sends Padme Amidala and Anakin Skywalker, but unbeknownst to them, the Quarren have already been backed by the Separatist. There will be lots of fish jokes as season 4 opens with a splash!
Oh.
We're talking about Water War this week. How are you, Chris?
I'm good.
I've been, for the last hour, following Pablo Hidalgo's Twitter, because he was talking, he started this thread, and it says the biggest freakouts of, oh, never mind, Star Wars fandom ratio currently belongs to Sana Solo, with Rogue One reshoots being a close second. And then he asked, what are some other good fandom freakouts that we know of? And so he started like posting his own and retweeting other ones. So far we have, is Black Hermione a thing? Because they cast a black woman to play Hermione in the play.
Oh, right.
Another one is a Klingon on the bridge of the Enterprise in Starfleet, no less.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Getting rid of Superman's over underwear in Man of Steel.
There's still people complaining about that.
Keith Ledger being cast as the Joker. I remember hearing those two.
People got over that.
Mr. Mom being Batman?
That was huge. People got over that, too.
A tall man being cast as Wolverine?
Yeah, that didn't go anywhere.
Black and Asian as Guardians?
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, because, like, it was... I remember Idris Elba being, oh my god, I just totally blanked on his name.
The guy who runs the Rainbow Bridge, right?
Yeah, god, what is his name? I know that. Wait, I have his Funko Pop, I think, over here. Where are you? I gave it to my friend!
I wondered if there was going to be... When I saw that in the movie, I was like, oh, I wonder if the people that are, like, really purists about the Nordic thing, which is always a little weird anyway, would say anything, but it seemed mostly people were really into Idris Elba as whatever his character's name was.
Oh my god, what is his name? I'm gonna think of it at like 2 in the morning and be like, hey, right. This
oh, there's people yelling it at the speakers right now.
I know. Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm.
I swear to God, Scott Gardner and I recorded a podcast together, and I finally got it edited together, and I put it up, and within like 3 hours of it being put up, everybody had already listened to it and answered every question in it, where we were like, what was that guy's name? What was it? I'm thinking of some TV show, but I can't think of the name of it. So I got all the answers within, like, boom, 3 hours.
Ooh, this one being, we talked about this one on Who True Freaks, Billy Piper being cast as Doctor Who as the companion. We've debated a little bit about Rose as a companion, and I've always liked Rose, but other people didn't, and we never got to have that debate with Sean mediating, so that was always a sad thing. Every book change from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, that's something I've never paid attention to because I haven't read the books, so I wouldn't know what they was talking about.
Ninja Turtles being close to 7 feet tall with nose nostrils in the first Michael Bay film? Michael Bay films in general?
Yeah. No doubt.
The original X-Men movie costumes. I know you haven't seen Hunger Games, but Rue is black. She's not black in the... Oh. LeFou being gay in Beauty and the Beast. NSYNC in Attack of the Clones. Women Ghostbusters. That's not what the character looks like in the book, says everyone in the Lord of the Rings fandom, but Tolkien never described any characters. This is fun. I've enjoyed watching this for like the last hour. Anne Hathaway is not sexy enough to play Catwoman.
What? I never heard that.
What do you mean dwarves can be wizards in D&D 3rd edition? That's what we have so far.
There's so many more. Yeah, they haven't even started touching, like, you know, Batman versus Superman and anything like that.
I have to look up Idris Elba, Thor, because it's going to bother me. Oh, it's going to bother me so much. Heimdall. it didn't even load Heimdall. I know it's Heimdall. There. It's Heimdall.
Gene Hendricks is just sitting there face-palming right now.
The moment I started typing Idris Elba in Thor, I was like, it's Heimdall. I knew it. So, yeah. So that's what I've been doing for the last hour of my life, watching Pablo Hidalgo retweet all this. If he throws up any more good ones on my Twitter, I'll let you know. well,
keep us on alert.
I will for non-important emergency tweets from Lucasfilm Story Group. Oh, okay. Well, are you ready to start season 4?
I am ready.
Yeah.
To jump in with both feet into the deep end.
Yeah, but don't get caught in that undercurrent.
The undertow.
I'm pretty sure that the tides will be turning back and forth.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they will.
Better be careful. You're going to be shark bait.
You're going to get wet on this ride.
A little bit. You're going to get wet, Yoda.
Yoda's already moist all the time.
I will say in next week's episode, I did put in my notes, I really wish we got to see Yoda in a tiny scuba suit.
Oh, geez, a little Yoda Speedo.
It would be cute. A little Zuby Scuba Scoop.
Nut huggers.
Okay. Well, I'll bring that up again next week because I just like the idea of like a tiny little suit, like swimming thing. Like he could fit.
Yoda doesn't have nut huggers. He has peanut huggers.
Yeah. I mean, he could fit inside the shark man's mouth. He's so tiny. Mm. Get those tiny peanuts in his mouth.
All right.
So
onward.
Welcome to season 4, guys, where we're equally just as classy as we've always been.
Classing it into season 4.
Oh man. So okay. Water War is the 67th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on September 16th, 2011. It was written by Jose Molina and directed by Dwayne Dunham. It was part one of an hour-long season premiere. Some extra information for you. Season 4 was marketed under the title Battle Lines. When designing the model for Sharkman Riff Tamsin, the Clone Wars animation crew made sure to rig his feet so that they could bend in order to suggest that his species could walk on land and survive outside of water. Riff Tamsin was voiced by Gary Anthony Williams, whose other work includes Whose Line Is It Anyway?, The Lion Guard, Rick and Morty, The Boondocks, and Gron in Star Wars Rebels. Art Butler voices Admiral Ackbar. While Butler auditioned for the role, mimicking the voice of Ackbar from Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, most of the other actors seeking the parts only used their normal voice. He had such a good Akbar impression that they were like, yeah, you can be Akbar. That sounds great. Adam MacArthur voices Prince Lee Char. I keep wanting to call him Charlie, and then I keep calling him Charlie by accident. Adam MacArthur voices the...
Charlie it is.
Yeah, he might just be called Charlie if I keep missaying it. Prince Lee Char is Adam MacArthur. His other notable works include The Little Bronze, The Adventures of Puss in Boots, and stars as a main cast member in Star vs. the Forces of Evil, which as Marco Diaz, which is a great show, by the way.
I say we either call him Chucky.
No, because we already had Flesh Chucky.
I know, but...
No, we can't have two Chuckies.
Then let's call him Puss in Boots. Because he is kind of a Puss in Boots.
He is kind of... Well, no, Puss in Boots is cool. Have you seen
That's
Trick?
True. That's
He's
true.
Antonio Banderas. We'll just call him Prince Puss. I call him Prince Guppy. I call him a Guppy a few times in my notes, but I think it's in next week's notes that I called him a Guppy. So... We'll figure out a nickname for you, Alicia.
I got a nickname for him, but it only came up... I think I only thought of it halfway through the second episode.
Huh.
Or maybe I have to check my notes.
Because I wanted to call him a paralarva, because that's what you call baby octopuses, and baby octopuses are cute. But... larva.
I don't think I wrote it down. Well, I called it... My nickname for him is Prince Forehead. He's got a lot of forehead.
Well, they all do. They're
yeah, but he's got like extra, like he's got like puberty forehead or something. You know what I mean? It's a little weird. Or maybe they just film him from the front all the time. Guy's all forehead.
That's true. So anyway, Senator Mina Tills is voiced by Anna Graves, who we know voices Duchess Satina Mandalore. Mina Tills is a senator for Mon Cala. At the end of the Clone Wars, she joined the delegation of 2,000. These 2,000 individuals were bothered by the way that Supreme Chancellor Palpatine had waged the Clone Wars and created a petition of 2,000 identifying the entire membership of the group, formally protesting Palpatine's actions and demanding he return the Senate's emergency power that he claimed following the conclusion of the war. The delegation of 2,000 appeared in a deleted scene of Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. These scenes were featured in the film's novelization, which depicted Padme Amidala as a key member of the group. But this is now considered legacy and not canon. Phil LaMarr returns to voice Kit Fisto. And here we go for Dave Filoni's episode featurette. You're not going to get it, guys. Because Dave Filoni changed up the format of the episode featurettes this week. This time around, he took fan questions covering all three episodes of the Mon Cala Civil War. So I'm just going to wait until we cover the third episode of this arc to do this featurette. Because I think
spoil like crazy?
Not like super spoilery, but I think there was something in there that was a spoiler.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching this and I was like, oh, I'll wait till episode three. So we'll see. Mostly it was like 1 a.m. and I didn't want to type it up. So it worked. It was fine with me. So yeah.
You know who else is hanging around at 1 a.m?
Who's wet with nut huggers?
Snug. Snugs as a bug in a rug.
This one's kind of borderline like rapey. Kind of creepy. Yeah, this one's kind of good. This one's kind of creepy up there. Yeah.
You mean creepy down here?
It has those tiny peanuts.
Yoda lives below the hemline.
We can catch that fresh sea breeze.
Oh, how's Get the weather nice, down there?
Kind of like that nice whiffy fishy smell.
Smells like fish if it does. Eat all that you wish. Smells like cologne, it does. Leave it alone. Old Jedi saying from Book of Wills.
So what's the space latitude this week? That is kind of rapey.
When destiny calls, the chosen have no choice. In bed. Anakin... You are the chosen one.
No. God, can it be Obi-Wan?
Chosen one, are you?
Rude has, like, so much experience. Okay, he really doesn't. I totally have sex all the time with my wife.
Yoda has chosen one tests.
Ugh. We should just move on.
Moving on.
Thanks, Yoda. Have a good break. Go on spring break. Yoda's gone wild.
Jesus.
Oh, man. All right, so act one.
Ooh, act one.
Okay, here we go, season four. Act one. There's a problem in Fishland as tensions rise on Mon Cala. The squid people, the Quarren, and the Akbar Bass people... I was about to say base. Akbar Bass people, the Mon Calamari, aren't the friendliest of neighbors. To make it worse, the big fish king, Mon Calamari, got shanked in the back, grilled, and served with some cocktail sauce. His son, Prince Lee Char, has to man up and be the new king. And the Quarren are like, yeah, listen here, Prince Inky. We don't want you to be our king. So it's up to Padme Amidala and Anakin to clear up the fish tank of crap, if you will, before a civil war breaks out. All the fish people are yelling at each other in a meeting. The Mon Calamari are all like, but the prince is next to Worl. And the Quarren are like, we want a change and a king with more face tentacles. And Lee Char tries to calm everyone down. But Jaw's personified man, named Riff Tamsin, is all like, shut up, kid, you don't know Jack. Akbar, who is only a captain at the moment, but hello, Akbar, welcome to Clone Wars, points out that Riff shouldn't speak at their meeting anyway. He's there for the Separatists as an observer, which means he's obviously there up to no good. Riff is all like, you brought the Republic guys into this? Thank you very much. And Padme swims over and is like, guys, what can we do? What can the Republic do to help you out? And the room erupts, and this is an internal matter, and the Republic sucks, and burn everything to the ground, which is hard because they're underwater, and stuff like that. And Padme flashes her trademark, democracy dies in the dark, doughy eyes up at her husband. The meeting ends with the Quarren leaving, denying Lee Char becoming king. Norso Rai, the leader of the Quarren, does give his sympathies to the young prince, saying that his dad was a trusted bro, and he said that his bro is dead, because dead bros are sad. Team Anna Padme Akbar call up Yoda and Wet Blanket Windu. The civil war is inevitable, and the Quarren will soon withdraw from the public. Wet Blanket wastes no time dispatching Ahsoka, Kit, Fisto, and clones to go help them out. Akbar will rally the Mon Cala troops. Senator Amina Tills meets up with Akbar and orders him to be Lee Char's personal bodyguard as he leads the army. Akbar is like, wait a moment here. This kid's gonna lead our army? That's really cute. But seriously, I gotta get stuff done, and I got some shit to do, and I can't play babysitter. But Amina Tills' word is final, and Akbar must protect the prince. They go get ready for war. So, Chris, I got a question for you before I ask you what you think of the season, because we weren't sure if you're now entering new territory. So have you seen this episode before or not? Or
I have seen this. I have seen this episode, yes.
Ah, damn it. One time we will, at one some point, we will get you to the new stuff.
I only, there's literally one scene in it that, and that was towards the last scene in this episode where I visually recognized it and said, oh yeah, I remember this story. So yes, I have seen this. It didn't make a big impression on me the first time.
Yeah, okay. I was hoping we were, because I can't wait for you to get to like Clone Wars with like fresh new eyes.
It should be pretty soon. I was talking to Scott Gardner the other day and telling him that we were all the way to season four, and I'm like, yeah, you know, we're catching up to where we covered when in Star Wars Monthly Monday, and he's like, did we even get that far? I can't believe we even got that far. And now that I think about it, I'm like, yeah, neither can I. We may not have gotten that far in covering it, but I was watching it week by week too when it was coming out, so up to a point.
Yeah. Damn it. All right, so what do you think of Act One?
I enjoyed it. I was sort of looking forward to an underwater story because and now that I think about it, I think we were talking about it two episodes ago, or maybe during the wrap-up show, where I was saying, you know, one of the first stories out of post-Star Wars in the Star Wars comics took place on a water world, and in the cartoon from the holiday special. I want to say Christmas special, but it's the holiday special. But I was wrong. There was also a second Waterworld story towards the end of the run of Marvel Star Wars the original Marvel Star Wars comics, that is actually visually more similar to this, whereas there were tubes and stuff underwater. One of the weird things I found about this is it's neat to have them swimming around underwater, and it's a visually new sort of thing. The only thing that was sort of like it before this was the three or four scenes we've had with zero gravity.
Yeah.
But or fights in space and stuff. But you know, this has the physics of water and sort of the sound of underwater. So it was a new sort of look to stuff. But the physics underwater were vastly inconsistent. You know, sometimes like, you know, watching them swim around, and everybody's swimming around real fast. Everybody can just like whip through the water, and I'm thinking, Jedi, whatever, you know, and the people who live there where they're used to being underwater and stuff. But everybody's just sort of zipping around, and then they got those tubes, and I'm like, do they have like water running through them faster? They don't seem to go any faster in the tubes. And then sometimes when there was trouble with a tube and it would get crashed away, people would fall out of it and like, wah, go falling out like they were, you know, up in the air, you know, but everybody's underwater. So, you know, the tube gets broken and it's just like, oh, you float out of the tube and go, okay, I'll swim the rest of the way. But
yeah.
People are like, wah, falling out of the tube. So the physics were a little wonky in some places, but visually it was really... neat. I like the sound design on the evil aqua droids and stuff. They had a really neat original sort of Ben Birdie Star Wars.
Yeah, sometimes they would have like almost like sonar sounds too. Like they would, like, you could hear them like pinging in and pinging back. So I thought that was cool too. That they would have that kind of like submarine like ping pong. Gonna sound.
We'll come upon it in the next episode, but there was also inconsistencies about sound. You know, people talking to each other underwater, where it's like if you're in a scuba gear like Anakin or Ahsoka, any of the Jedi or Amidala, and somebody's sitting there in the water like blah 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 talking to you. It just doesn't travel through the water like it does through the air and then through your suit and stuff. So I'm assuming...
like, it makes sense for them in the suits because they probably have communicators.
They have mics or something like that. But it was just, you know, I'm sure for TV purposes. But it would have been neat if they muffled their voices up a little bit more and just made it sound a little bit more like it was underwater. Every once in a while, you'll get that... That's like if something big hits something else and that sort of cracking noise, but it's like muffled and, you know, really low pitched. But I was enjoying it. You get Ackbar yelling, "It's an attack!" and
it is cool to have Captain Ackbar.
I'm happy to have Captain Ackbar. That's the kind of callback to the Star Wars movies that I'm. That don't seem too coincidental, you know?
Yeah,
the
like
stuff with
like,
generals like, and stuff like that. Of course,
yeah,
it would be.
It's like Tarkin in the Citadel arc. Like he's a captain, mm-hmm. and it makes mm-hmm. sense that he's there. And mm-hmm. he was definitely much younger and stuff. So that was kind of another cool callback too, because he would be a captain. And
yeah, it's not as coincidental as just running into Chewbacca, you know. You're in that circle of the Republic.
Or the two Cantina guys in Rogue One.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they literally had to get off the planet within 30 seconds or they were going to explode to get to Han, so, or to get to Luke and Obi-Wan.
To get his hand cut off, yep. But other than that, you know, not a lot going on. I'm the character of the young prince, the young person thrust into a position of command is becoming a Clone Wars sort of thing. You know, I guess it's building off Amidala herself, the way she... I don't know if it was really thrust upon her, though, but either way, you know. So it's sort of becoming a trope in the you know, the Greenhorn leader who's, you know, going to... And you get a pretty good... If you look at the platitude, you get a pretty good idea. It's like, okay, this guy's going to become a Mon Calamari leader, and when he's just like, oh, geez, guys!
Yeah, I definitely had some notes about that in Act 2, but it was pretty much along those same lines. I just go into a little bit more detail on it, just because that's when... Yeah. For me, I do like the design of Mon Cala. Like, all the underwater buildings and the tubes and, like, the water flora. And I think it's just really cool because unlike the Gungan city where everything is in a bubble and, like, everything's walking around and has normal physics, they have to swim everywhere. And where I first noticed it was, like, the meeting hall where they were all meeting at the beginning. It's just this, like, spiral circular thing. But the thing is, instead of, like, just walking out of the meeting hall, they just swim up through the roof. And so I like some of those different kind of underwater designs that they have. It kind of gives a great new visual to Star Wars.
I was sort of hoping, like, when they were in their meeting hall, I was sort of hoping that there would be more, like there is underwater, like, you know, little pieces of dirt and algae floating around in the water. And
it's then a I was very clean little world.
And then I was thinking, though, like, okay, they're in their meeting hall. Maybe they have the you know, the water equivalent of air conditioning in there where, you know, they filter out so the water's a little clearer in there. But then as I was thinking that, there was a scene with Sharkman, you know, talking to the other guy, and the water around them had all sorts of little murky bits in it, and I'm like, oh, okay, so they were aware of having murky stuff, but they're saving it for, you know, the tone of when the bad guys are around. So I like that sort of, you know, setting the scene, and it's like, okay, we'll put some grit in the water, but only with the bad guys. I like that.
You know, Padme and Anakin must be getting a hell of a workout swimming everywhere.
You know, I was watching that and I'm like, man, you've been swimming before, right?
Yeah,
I hope everybody's been swimming.
Fun.
You just
and
don't
slip
through the water like that. You know, even if when you see scuba divers, they're just sort of going paddle, paddle, paddle through the water. These guys are going wee and sliding around. So I'm figuring they've got to have some sort of drive unit on their scuba gear, you know, that propels them or something, you know.
But still, that's gotta be so tiring, because, like, you know, I take a lap in a pool and I'm panting, like, swimming everywhere for, like, an entire time. And I kind of noticed, I started thinking it towards the end of the second episode, which was, like, where's all their air going? Like, they gotta be running out of, like, do they have spare tanks with them?
No, they,
like,
probably have something that sucks air out of the water. You know, just like the Jedi had with their nose stuff, they could probably just, like, hang out there, you know, all they want is it probably limited by having to eat and excrete.
Yeah.
But who knows, they might have technology for either of those, I guess. They might have little tubes inside that can feed them. Well, that's for the food. That's for the food. But then I was thinking, yeah, maybe they have little tubes for the excrete, too.
Anakin currently has just, like, a little tube in his butt, and the poop just goes...
Yeah, it's just, like, a bigger version of the thing the dentist puts in your mouth when they're in there drilling, you know, the little vacuum.
Like, I just imagine, like, you know, have you ever seen a fish pooping and it's just, like, a long stringy trail?
Yeah.
That just, like, hanging out on the back of Anakin?
That would be great if that, yeah, you had some exhaust tube and it just, like, expels it and they're just swimming around with, like, the...
just kind of dangling behind Anakin as he swims.
That's why we don't have a job as animators on Star Wars.
Because we'd be like, where's Anakin's poop tube? And Dave Filoni
every meeting,
like,
we would be pounding on the table going, we're not going forward until you explain this. I don't care if it's never in the show. We need to know where the poop goes.
Dave Filoni, where's... And Dave would just be like, what? And he's like, we need poop tubes.
You know what I'm talking
poop
about,
tubes.
Dave. Don't play dumb with me, Dave. I know what you're... You know.
Deep tubes, Dave.
Another yes. thing they don't pay attention to underwater-wise is water pressure. People are just going...
Oh, my God, I totally made that note in the second.
People are just going low and high and everything. So either their suits somehow take care of that, or... But then there's... Even if you're an undersea creatures can't just whip from the bottom. You know, when they pull... put nets way down deep and pull up those deep sea fish, they're all dead when they get to the top because they're all, you know, the change in pressure has just killed them.
Yeah, like, just so listeners know, we're recording this episode, the next one tonight. So, in the next episode, there's a part where they're hanging onto debris and they're dropping fast through the water. This has to be wrecking them.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's their ears have got to be popping like crazy.
Yeah.
All the oxygen's got to be bubbling.
Maybe this one city isn't like deep, deep ocean. It might be like a shallow shelf, like a very shallow ocean shelf. I'm getting the feeling it's maybe only like maybe about a mile deep. But even then, a mile deep, it's deep.
Yeah,
like, it's probably not, like, you know, like, 50 miles underwater or whatever. I don't even think the Earth goes 50 miles underwater. How deep is the ocean? Deepest part of the ocean? Anyway.
I don't know. The deepest part of the ocean's pretty damn deep, though.
It is pretty damn deep. But, I mean, I was thinking that, too, when they were, in next week's episode, they were just dropping fast. And I'm like, they're getting crushed by this pressure.
Yeah, we're going to have to just sort of suspend disbelief right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to the ride.
Poop tubes. All right. Well, the only other note is, but I'll come back to this note. I just wanted to note it. Oh, my God. Here we go. More politics. The downfall of the first half of season 3.
Yeah, but the politics in this one at least are like, it's hard to, it doesn't seem, it might seem more in this first episode that they're going to be the main thrust of this story.
Yeah.
But they turn out not to be. So they, you know, we sort of dispense with them here in the first episode.
Yeah, because, like, that was sort of the thing. And I'll go into more detail of it later because I come back to this note later on in the episode. I think the problem with it in season 3 is we would see the beginning of the politics and then take 22 minutes getting through this one political thing. What's great about this, we're coming into the climax of it. Like, we come in, tensions are literally about to break. And, like, they spend maybe 5 minutes on it, opposed to spending an entire 22-minute episode on it. So
no, it whips right along with it, you know.
Yeah.
They get a lot of the politics, the nuance of the politics squared away right in the opening, you know, narration.
Yeah.
And with a few quick shots. Including a gruesome one of his dad just floating in the water with a knife sticking out of his back.
Pretty
gruesome. It reminded me of, I think it was Star Trek VI, where a bunch of Klingons got killed on their ship in zero gravity and there's just all these Klingon bodies floating around.
Yeah. But that's all I had for Act 1.
Me too.
All right, so Act 2?
I'm ready.
All right, Act 2. The cool squid droids from Season 3 are back, and they start laying aqua droids into the ocean. Shark Riff Skypes Count Dooku, and they're all like, yes, everything's going well, and then they go off to do evil things. Prince Charlie gives his heartfelt but stereotypical good guy speech of, I know I'm weak, but I have a big heart, guys! Everything's gonna be okay. I don't know what, how, but it will happen. We'll be okay. Oh, and I don't think that the Quarren will attack. And guess what the very next piece of dialogue is? Shark Riff tells his droids to attack the city. Team Anna Padme Leechar join Ackbar at the front lines. Ackbar is strictly following orders by taking Leechar's orders, even though they're from an inexperienced kid. Anakin is like, dude, we need to hide the prince. And Ackbar is like, only the prince can decide that. And little Charlie is horrified by the battle and the people dying and slowly floating away around him. Anakin is like, guys,
I met this really cool guy last season named Parkin, and he told me that we should just do whatever we can in war and stuff. Great guy. Anyway, you gotta do what you gotta do to win. And Charlie is like, Akbar, go kick some ass and make those sharks wish that they were nice like the shark in Finding Nemo. And Al Akbar rallies the troop, and they just keep swimming to fight the enemies. Lee Char needs to get his men behind the droids and takes Padme and Anakin on a shortcut. Too bad their water tube gets smashed. Luckily, Ahsoka and the clones have arrived. Sadly, Rex doesn't get to go swimming or get wet or anything, which makes me sad. But we do get Kit Fisto, who is just awesome, so it's a decent trade. I like Kit Fisto. Ahsoka, Fisto, and the clones deploy into the water. With reinforcements there to help, Padme leaves to go look for Senator Tills. The tide of the fight is turning. Get it? It's a water joke. And the Mon Calamari are coming out on top. Anakin tells Lee Char to stay down and hide, and he swims off to fight. Akbar then goes to Lee Char and he's like, come prove your worst. Here's a blaster. Let's go kick some ass. And Lee Char hesitates to join the fight. Some jerk squid rips off Anakin's helmet and struggles to get it back. Just when he's about to lose his breath and die, Ahsoka zips in on her water scooter and gets his helmet. He's all like, I totally had that under control. And she's like, yeah, if it weren't for me, we'd be calling you shark bait, brouhaha. That's a Finding Nemo joke. Anyway, Padme calls in that she needs help moving the senators since she's pinned down by droids. Anakin leaves the prince to Ahsoka and he rushes off to help the senators. Ahsoka spots Shark Riff go for the prince, but she bitch slaps him with her lightsaber and doesn't kill him. It's unclear how that worked, but she literally did slap him in the face with her lightsaber blade, and I don't understand why he's still alive. I don't get it. She pulls the prince on a scooter and they paddle away. Oh, but Shark Riff smells blood in the water and chases after them. Our heroes dash into the water tunnel. Riff slams against it on the outside. Droids fill the tunnel in front of them. Ahsoka lets go of her scooter. It speeds ahead and crashes into the droid and explodes, taking out the bad guys. Riff continues to batter the tube until Mon Calamari reinforcements arrive. They all become shark bait while Ahsoka escapes with the prince.
I would have taken that opportunity when he smashed his face through the tube to take my lightsaber and go blah, 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 all over his face. I have a name for that guy. I have a nickname for that guy now.
What?
Sharkin.
Sharkin! Yes! Yes, he is Sharkin. He's all like, yes, we must do anything for the war and destroy it. Count Dooku. Blah, blah, blah. Oh my god, he is Sharkin.
Riff just sounds too much like a 80s cartoon character. I like Sharkin
hey
better.
Hey guys, I'm Riff. Get your skateboards for Saturday morning.
Once more, I'm digging the color scheme, like sickly orange color when you're up in the atmosphere, and then down into blues and greens when you're underwater.
That's such a really cool shot, can I say, when the Republic cruiser flies in and the little transport ships and clones just jumping out of it.
Just diving out of it, yeah.
That's such a cool shot.
And everything's orange and sort of cloudy and crummy looking. And then once you get underwater, it's like a lot more beautiful. But that's where the battle's going on, which is cool because it's like a space battle. It's in three dimensions.
Yeah.
So it's and the laser bolts look pretty cool underwater. That's all the real notes I had in this one. I kind of wish. That and I know the reason that they don't do this in like cartoon shows like this, but you know, whenever you have a character like young Prince Forhedia, they always have that voice. It's an adult person doing their voice. Sometimes it's a woman or something to make it sound like a younger person, but they have to do like a younger person voice, and it never sounds quite right. And it's like, why not get a real teenager to be him? It would be a lot more convincing. But then they can't do that because if they ever use the character again, the teenager's voice could be different, 3 minutes from now,
Yeah.
So so you can never get that authentic, like, young person voice. Ahsoka's is even a little weird, but now we've grown used to it, so it couldn't be any different. But
actually, they were Ashley was talking when Ahsoka came back in Rebels that, you know, she kept getting notes from Dave Filoni because she kept trying to do Clone Wars Ahsoka voice, and Dave's like, she's 20 years older. Make her sound older.
Right.
She's like, I'm sorry. I've done this for 6 seasons. So she actually had to relearn how to do Ahsoka's voice, but older, because she kept trying to do a young Ahsoka's voice, and Dave was like, she's not 14 anymore.
If they would have used her, well, if they would have used a real 14-year-old, she would have been, you know, 20 years old by the time they were done with the series.
Yeah. So, actually, X-Men wasn't that old when they started. I think she was only, like, 24 when they started the series. So, but I do like the fact that Ahsoka's voice has aged, though, because, like, if you go back and listen to, like, season one Ahsoka, she's all just like, hey, Sky Guy, what's up? And now she actually sounds like she's been seeing some shit.
Yeah. Well, it happens when, you know, she's been working that character for a long time now, so, you know.
Yeah.
Evolving it. But that's all I really had to say about part two. I have even less to say about part three, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. So I have said in the past that I'm not the biggest fan of the Mon Cala Civil War episodes. One of the reasons is Prince Charlie, or Frohedia, or whatever you want to call him. Because, like, if I was a child and this was the first time I was seeing this kind of character, it'd be really cool to watch his journey. I'd be like, yeah, cool. But I'm not a child, and it's such an overused TV trope, just in TV in general, but you're right, like, this has happened a couple times now in Clone Wars already, where the weak little guy becomes the big hero, and he grows his balls, and grows some tentacles and stuff, so it's just nothing new. So as an adult viewer, he's a really boring character, because we know what his story arc is going to be at the get-go. The only thing that would really change is if he got shot or something. Wouldn't it be cool if he lost an eyeball?
I guess it could happen, but I don't know. It didn't seem like it was going to go in that direction, you know?
Especially since, like, literally they're all bending over backwards to protect this guy.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it's just, it's like you said in Act 1, it's such an overused trope, and I just wish they went a different route. Like, I would almost want it to be, say, instead of, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a girl, but I think it'd be cool if it was, like, a princess. And, like, you know, maybe they have it somewhere in their thing. They're like, well, yeah, she's the daughter of the thing, but, like, the Quarren are just like, well, it's not in our thing. We can't have a queen. We must have a king. It's in our doctrine. And she had to prove herself as, like, a battle princess. And that would be cool. Like, I'm like, so it's one of those things. They're like, oh, well, yeah, she is pretty badass. Let's make her a queen. I would have liked to see something like that, but not the little weak-willed guy. I mean, come on, he's a teenager. He's probably at least kind of had an inkling that he was going to be a king at some point. So, like, what?
He's probably had a degree of training, you know, if he's going to be king.
Western, and he's just like, what am I going to do with this? And Akbar totally told Senator Mills, he was like, he has no battle training. And I'm like, why doesn't he have battle training? He's like, what, 17? Get that kid a sword.
Yeah, especially if he's going to be king.
Yeah. I mean, in real life, like, people like prime princes to be king at, like, age 3 and up. I mean, they at least start learning the basics. I mean, I've seen it before and it's just boring. But also, now that the prince... Now the prince is becoming a king, couldn't he just, like, stick an advisor to rule until he was more ready? Like, couldn't he, like, appoint an advisor? Or maybe work out a deal with the Quarren and be like, why do we need a king? Why don't we make a fishy republic and debate our plan of needs? Like, he could have,
absolutely no time for that, you know? I mean, instantly, I mean, like, they're debating what his legitimacy as king, and the next thing you know, the war's broken out, so...
I mean, I would have still rather, like even if Lee came out and was like, you know what, you're right, like, I'm not ready to be king. Why don't we figure out a deal with the Quarren and maybe we can, like, co-lead or something? And then the Quarren just being like, no, we want to be king, rawr! And then they'd be like, oh, well, at least we tried.
Yeah.
That was an option and it failed. Okay, let's fight.
I don't know. It's just there felt like there could be like more different options of like what he could have done. Because even if he would have been like, this is my advisor, he's going to rule for me, the Quorum could still have the argument of, like, we want to be king. Mm-hmm. I mean, like,
he's thinking the warrior thing of, like, at this moment, if there's a fight and I don't join in the fight and I have an advisor, I'm going to be forever the guy who is putting an advisor in place while people are battling. But if I go out there and battle and risk my life, then all of a sudden I'm, you know, he's of the people and...
Yeah.
And a warrior and can be, you know, can have a deal. Nobody has any respect for him because everybody there is kind of battle hardened.
Like, and he's just a greenhorn. Did they just shove him away in a Rapunzel tower? How do people not know him? like he's still the prince. Like, did he not do anything for his people? Like, if the people don't have respect for his prince, he obviously wasn't a very good prince.
Yeah, he might not have done anything, but I get the feeling that the Republic just took that, you know, they killed the Republic, the Separatists killed his father, and then were like, this kid's young enough that and inexperienced enough that we can use that insecurity and that moment to sow division, you know.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I do like how Sharkin fights. He just bites and shakes people to death
like a real shark.
Yeah,
except he screams just before he sinks his teeth into him. He's just like, roar! I like that.
And it's not even like a human roar. It's like a lion roar.
Yeah, yeah.
Just roar and just like grabs people and shakes them to death. I love it. I just like how he fights. We've already kind of touched on this before, but like in Act 1, I was like, oh no, politics, season 3. But this is the difference. Like we said, like, we get right into it. There's only about 5 minutes of politics, and the rest is a fight. But what I like about that is different also, the fight shows how important little Charlie is becoming king to both sides. You know, if he becomes king, the coroner are going to be, you know, downsized again and probably not represented well. And then if he could be a figurehead. So, like, the actual action of the fighting and how much they're going to Lynx to protect him shows how important the politics is, but it's the showing, not telling that we didn't get in season 3. Because season 3 was a lot of telling, not showing, but at least through the fighting, we can see how important this is to both the Quorin and the Mon Calamari without having it to be told to us.
Yeah, and it's a much better way to show it than talking about it. You know, a much better way to communicate it.
So my other one, and this is just like a science kind of me thinking about it. I'm trying to figure out the physics behind the blaster bolts in the water. Because, like, aren't they made of, like, plasma or something?
I don't know. The water doesn't seem to affect them at all. They go in a straight line. If they were light, they'd get diffused all over the place. They would just, like, boom, spread.
If they were heated, because obviously, like, if you get shot with a blaster, it cauterizes you. You know, it doesn't, like, you don't bleed out or anything. You get shot with a blaster and it's a solid wound. So they have to be hot. So wouldn't it cool off in the water or, like, boil the water immediately around it?
That would be cool, but, yeah, it didn't seem to be doing anything.
Yeah, and that's just, like, another weird, like, physics thing. I was like, I would have much rather, have something like with them, like, just like legit swords and just stabbing the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Didn't know with lightsabers. Like, the lightsabers don't seem to be affected by water. Like, so I guess lightsabers, for one, are waterproof. Two, I guess they work in the water, but I kind of like wish they were sort of bendy, like, because they'd be getting
some waves go through them or something. That would be really cool.
Yeah, or at least have them, like, the water around it, like, bubbling or something, just because the physics in this water world with blasters and lightsabers in general is like, but like, I don't understand.
I think it's determined by the limits of the budget.
Yeah, though I feel like having, you know, just stabby things would be less expensive instead of a guy like shooting a blaster, you just stab a guy.
Yeah.
So it's weird. That's why I like
stabbing in like missile like things that went and exploded somewhere, you know.
Yeah, that's why kind of like in Act 3, they get the little, we'll talk about it in a second, but they get these like electric jellyfish. You can tell the electricity in that, and like anything that gets close to those tentacles gets fried.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because if you drop, you know,
something electric in the water, it's going to fry you. But it only disperses so far. That's why when lightning strikes an ocean, only fish in the immediate area get killed, because the electricity disperses through the water and it only goes so far. So I don't know. The physics are weird in this episode.
Yeah, in all dimensions.
Yeah. And they keep going from slow to fast. So, but that's all I have for Act 2.
All right. We're heading towards my least number of notes for any of the acts of this. Well, no, Act 2 actually is pretty short in the next episode, too. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, Act 3.
Act 3.
Kit Fisto, Anakin, and Ackbar regroup and get some intelligence. The droids are retreating into the coral, and Anakin asks the very obvious question of, what could they possibly be doing taking a strategic position in the middle of a war? Something sinister, Anakin, it's something bad. That's the answer. Above water, Separatist ships drop dome things into the ocean. Sharkin has brought a secret weapon with him from his homeworld. Hydro Medusas, half droids, half monsters. As they're swimming towards the domes that now look like jellyfish, you can hear someone screaming, which is not a good thing. Back in the city, Ahsoka and the prince rejoin the heroes. Senator Till wants the prince to make terms of surrender for the Quarren. Every single person is like, this fight's not over. Chill your gills, lady. And the Hydro Medusa jellyfish gingerly swim onto the scene. They're pretty much big electric jellyfish, each the size of a house. Prince Charlie gives the call for attack, and the second battle breaks out. The heroes are quickly losing. The electric jellyfish are picking up casualties as fast as droids come in behind them. The Jedi want to retreat, but Charlie is like, I'm a real fish boy, guys! I'm gonna fight! And Ackbar, who has spent the entire episode trying to get him to fight, is like, nah, we gotta run this time, let's go. And Kit Fisto stays behind with his men to hold off the enemy while the other Jedi escape with the prince. Kit Fisto rams his water scooter into one of the jellyfish and gives the best cool guy smile watching it explode. And then our heroes manage to escape. Shark Riff finds Quarren leader Norso Rai and is like, dude, your men suck. And Rai is like, well, you suck. And Sharkin is like, I brought electrical jellyfish to the table. I don't suck. And Rai is like, your street cred is exaggerated, and we won. So what's the big damn deal? And Sharkin grabs him by the face and tells him not to disobey orders again, or he's a dead squid. Like, Sharkin will kill Rai, put him in a bowl, and make his tentacles dance with soy sauce. And this is a total side note, guys. Go on YouTube and look up dancing squids with soy sauce. It's a really cool chemical reaction that dead squids get to the salt and the soy sauce. And they do little dances. But it's really morbid, but in a really cool way. Anyway, back to the episode. Rai doesn't think it's cool and probably immediately regrets all of his life choices. Down in the caves, Prince Charlie is like, woe is me and my lack of leadership. Oh, I am the worst. And Ackbar is like, buck up, Buttercup. We gotta continue these shenanigans next week. The end.
So you wanna hear my only note?
Yeah, I wanna hear your only note.
You get the trademark copyright Kit Fisto grin.
Oh, I love that moment. Like, it explodes and he smiles. And it's lifted
right out of episode 2 from the arena battle. And he also does it in the original, like, animated Clone Wars series. There's one episode that's just basically Kit Fisto battling in the Mon Cal world.
Uh-huh.
And he also does another, like, ding grin at the screen.
I love that moment. Because, yeah. I do like the jellyfish things, though. Because, like,
They are invincible. I like that. He's like, they're half machine, half monster, and they're invincible. That's a good description of something, whether it's accurate or not.
Yeah, but I like when they're coming on the scene, and you just see these lights coming up from the bottom, and everyone's looking down like, what the fuck is that? And then they don't even, like, speed in there. They just slowly float into view, and everyone's just like, what do we do? Do we run?
Oh, they're so slow. Do we fight it? What do we do? Everyone's like so confused that these big house-sized jellyfish just kind of float onto the screen, and they're like, oh, okay. Okay, oh, they're killing us. Oh, no. So, I do like that scene when they arrive. That's really cool. Okay, so here we go. This is a beef I have with this episode. And I just want to be clear, it's not just these three sets of episodes. It's anything pertaining water worlds in general, whether it's like TV, movies, video games, it's just water worlds in general. The pacing of a water world is so much slower because of the water. People are really only moving like probably a quarter to half pace slower. And it's just, it's always hard, especially when the physics aren't staying accurate, because, like, sometimes they're moving really slow. There's one time Anakin swam faster than Kit Fisto, yeah. And I was like, why? But for the most part, everyone's moving so much slower than they would normally move, and they're like, it's just really weird. And it's just all water worlds, whether it's the Water Temple in Zelda Ocarina of Time, or Atlantis in Kingdom Hearts, or swimming around in Super Mario. Water kills your pacing and makes everything move much slower. So I think they try to compensate the best that they can, like giving people water scooters and stuff like that. But it's still just not at the fast-paced Clone Wars that we're used to.
There's no Django jumping going on or parkouring.
Yeah. I would love to see Anakin try to parkour off the building.
There's no water parkour.
Gently, like, kind of turn in midair, like, midwater. So, though I will say the animation is really impressive in this episode. They probably had to re-render so many new elements for these characters. Because, like, when you render a character, you know, they're probably used to, like, have a standard, like, rendering for, like, Anakin running.
They're working with totally different gravity and physics of everything.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, the fact that I'm sure Anakin's arm doesn't constantly go above his head in a circular motion, I'm sure that's not an action that he does a lot, but now when he's swimming, he has to constantly do that. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Padme. I mean, it's kind of different, like, with say, something like Riff. They probably just rendered him to swim at all times, but they can't do that with their, like, Ahsoka and Padme and Anakin, so... It's the animation is really nice in this one and changing up those physics and stuff. So it was really good. And it probably helps that they have wetsuits. They don't have like flowy hair or like shirts or anything.
Right,
it's all
right.
Skin tight. So it's pretty much just base what they can. So one thing I was wondering, you know, when the Separatist ship is above the water dropping domes, where's the Republic cruiser that dropped everybody off?
Yeah, I know.
Like, shouldn't there be a firefight happening in the sky, or, like, a war fight, or, like, a space battle going on?
Yeah, no, they just sort of want you to gloss over all that.
Yeah, so I was wondering that. I was like, where's the Republic cruiser? Where did it go? So, I have to give a nod to the brutal nature of working underwater. It's like flying in space because there's just dead bodies floating everywhere in your face.
Yep.
And can I say, Senator Mina Tills is kind of a bitch.
he reminds me, and I'm trying to remember their race, from episode one, the green guys that sound like Japanese caricatures.
Oh, it's Newt Gunray's
yes,
race.
Yes, yes. So,
I know who you're talking about.
He kind of reminds me of Newt Gunray, kind of like the cowardly, you know.
No, I'm sorry. The girl Calamari senator is who I'm talking about.
Oh.
She's kind of a bitch.
I thought you were talking about Sharkin's buddy.
No, because like she pretty much spends the entire episode demanding things, like commanding the prince and telling him to do things and telling people what to do, and they're all like, We're fighting a war. Calm down. Chill out, man. And she's like, no, you must do this. And they're like, we can't do that. And she's like, well, then do this. And I'm like, shouldn't you be, like, shooting a gun or something? Like, shut up. Go find Padme. But, I mean, she spent the entire episode just, like, demanding things from people. Like I think earlier in the episode, like, Lee Char was like, I want to do this. And she's like, no,
Biba Akbar, and he's like, oh, okay, sorry, leave me alone. I don't know what I'm doing. So, yeah, she just spent the entire episode just, like, yelling at people, and I was just like, calm down, Senator Tells. So, I will say one of the cool things about fighting underwater is it shows new ways of fighting. This isn't some Jedi parkour fight. There's a lot of ebb and flow of tides. Ooh. And there's a lot of thought put into how they fight. Something I hadn't noticed the first time I watched before, but I kind of noticed it this time around, and it helps that we were talking about it and stuff. Because the first time I saw this episode, I was just watching it, but now, like, we're discussing it on a weekly basis. Anakin's giving a lot of freedom to Ahsoka. Like, a ton of freedom.
He should be by now.
I know, and I think a lot of it is all the crap she went through in the second half of season 3. She's proved her worth to him. Like, she's proved herself, and he's just like, yeah, handle a prince. Go for it, man. Here's your prince. Take care of him. I gotta go, bye. And I was just like, aw, that's Anakin! You're finally not helicoptering as much as you used to. And my only other note, this is just a general note, this episode to me is just okay. You know what? I was kind of dreading these episodes because I knew they were right in the beginning of season 4, and the first time I watched them, I wasn't really impressed by them. It's not as bad as I remember, I will say that. I really enjoyed the fighting and stuff, and being such a long time since I last watched this episode, I was watching it with relatively fresh eyes. It's still just an okay episode of Clone Wars. The animation's really nice, but there's no huge character moments or plot-changing things that affect the war as a whole. It's just a run-of-the-mill episode of Clone Wars. Instead of a 22-minute fight, we'll just get a 3-episode fight.
Instead of a lot of Senate arguing, too, we're getting a fight.
Yeah, so it's an alright episode. It's just not great. It's not terrible. Nothing blew my mind. So, yeah. But that's all I have for Act 3.
So it sounds like we're getting ready to score that sucker up.
Yeah, we're going to fry up this fish.
Well, I thought it was a little above average. I'm glad they came out with a fight. They're obviously, like, I was going, okay, they're going to do a little arc here where nothing radical is going to happen. You know, it's going to be its own little self-contained arc. And then the main overarching stories that really affect things will probably happen after this. That's, like, something they seem to be doing lately. So as just, like, a battle goes, I like it. It's in a different location. There's nothing super innovative about it story-wise, but visually and Star Wars-y, it's all there. I'm giving it just a little above average. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. You know, for me, like I said just now, it's a pretty okay episode. It's not great, it's not terrible, it's just pretty okay. The animation is fantastic, and it gives us a new kind of fight in Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And it is always fun to see Akbar. And little Prince Charlie is kind of annoying, and it's reusing a lot of common TV tropes, but, I mean, there's nothing inherently bad about him.
No, there's nothing really good about him either, or appealing about him. He's just there.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's just stuff that we've seen before, so overall, it's just an okay episode. So I gave it a very average, my average episode score of 7 out of 10.
Alright, fair enough. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Passing score.
As always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because if you rate us or leave a review on iTunes, it helps people find the show. This week, our feedback comes from our Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Ghost of Mortis. And I read through these. I might have some apologizing to do, but not really.
Oh, we're back on. We're still talking about Ghost of Mortis, huh? Okay.
It's the last Mortis. It's the last Mortis one. Last one.
All right, so Paul C. Kelly says, in Empire, doesn't Luke have visions which Yoda explains are clouded and not certain that they die? Well, Anakin's vision did not leave anything uncertain. Even in Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, he sees visions of Padme possibly dying in childbirth, but no hint he is going to become Sith. Anyway, your arguments are pretty valid. I guess I'm hoping he means my arguments. Oh, hey, and here's Patrick Delmore. Everything was already set in stone when the Mortis arc took place. Do you like how I'm making him kind of angry, too?
Yeah.
save for one thing. Ahsoka's ultimate choice about the Jedi. I know I said Mortis was all a show for Anakin, but Ahsoka's destiny was foreshadowed as well. I was thinking about Hope's idea of showing a kid all the Star Wars media in chronological order. What if the kid had never seen Darth Vader before? They'd be completely confused until the reveal of the mask in Episode 3, at which point they might... Aha! Magical destiny. Sure! Bullshit! Definitely a fair take, just not a universal one. I think Patrick Delmore's voice is changing.
Yeah.
And then Mike Zumo chimes in. I agree with Patrick on the kid watching chronologically. If the kid doesn't know who Darth Vader is, then the clips of the future won't spoil anything because all they've shown is images with no context. The images themselves, to someone who doesn't know what they are, don't spoil anything. It's the context that gives them meaning. But I also thought the Jedi didn't remember what happened, unless they didn't remember what happened when they turned. The tragedy in Anakin's story is that he sees horrible things in his future, and all the steps he takes to prevent them cause them to happen. Yes, okay. That's true.
Okay, so I will admit I was really angry at the Mortis arc, and I probably calling the whole Vader thing bullshit was probably a little heavy-handed. But I still stand by what I say. Like,
it's bullshit.
I don't think that Vader should be in Clone Wars, period, the end. It's Anakin's story, beginning, middle, and end. It's just a bad story element in a bad story arc.
And it might spoil it for a really smart kid. Have you ever considered that, huh?
Yeah.
Not and, you. I'm talking to Mike Zumo.
But the thing is like, also... there's no point to do it, because it's one thing if Anakin had remembered seeing his future, but he doesn't. So what's the point of doing it in the first place? The answer? It's fucking fan wank. Like, it's just
yeah, just so they could show it to us. Exactly.
Yeah, like, that's what it is. It's just fan wank. I mean, they're just being like, look, fans, we're teasing Vader. Ha ha ha. Oh, he doesn't remember it. So what's the point of doing it in the first place? There is no point. So I don't think they should do it in any way, shape, or form. So calling it bullshit might have been a little stronger, but I still stand by it. I don't think Vader should be in Clone Wars, period. Oh my god, what are we eating this week?
I know, Hope, we slacked off and forgot to pick, so I'm just, like, fingering my fingers through my whole bowl of candy.
I kind of want to know what... let's see. There's a thing that says turnip caramel? Wafer biscuits?
Caramel wafer biscuits.
I also have a lion. I don't know what the lion is, but it's roaring at me.
I can see the lion, too, right in front of me. Let's do the lion.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the packaging, and it looks like blood's coming out of this wafer.
Oh, dear God.
Like, excellent. The wafer was bit by the lion, and it bled. So let's do this one.
This is a Nestle. Let me, see if I can find, Dario's list here.
So Chris is a big crybaby and hates American Kit Kats. So our friend Dario Gonzalez, Lion Bar is German.
Ah.
So our friend Dario Gonzalez, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, is a flight attendant, and he sends us candy all over the world to let us taste and review to satisfy Chris's angryness.
Wow, the lion looks like a lumpy turd.
It smells good.
It looks like a cat turd.
I don't want to eat it now.
It looks like a cat turd with kitty litter stuck in it. Now I'm going to take a bite.
I've seen what comes out of my cats.
Oh, it's good.
Oh.
There's chocolate, Rice Krispies stuff, wafers, and caramel.
I like the Rice Krispies on it.
It's good.
It is really good.
You figure... if it's a chocolate candy bar, it better be good if you're going to sell it in Germany, right? Because Germany is the land of chocolate. I'm only going to eat half of this because I got another candy bar coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to take one more bite. That's good. As always, thank you, Dario. We love you. You're the best.
I'm still thinking bites. I gotta put it down. They're good.
I like it because they're not like super sweet either, even with the caramel.
Nope, it's got the right amount of crunch. Mm-hmm. And also, I noticed this editing a couple weeks ago. I'm an asshole.
Okay.
I keep pronouncing wafer, waffer. And I heard you being very polite about halfway through, and you started pronouncing it waffer too, just to humor me.
No, I think I just was. I always thought you were kidding. Just like calling it a waffer.
I was. I was doing from Monty Python's Meaning of Life, just a waffer thin mint.
I thought you were doing what I do, because like I work in a comic book store, so oftentimes I'll call Spider-Man Spitterman.
Spider-Man.
No,
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Sometimes
Spider-Man
I'll just call Spider-Man
Law Associates.
Yeah, I just call him Spitterman to joke around. So I thought you were just calling it a waffer just to be fun. So I was just like, I'll call it a waffer too.
I can't stop eating this Lion Bar. It's delicious.
I'm going to save a little bit of mine. So, for later. Eat it later tonight while I'm writing. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. Our super slick website full of podcasts. Hundreds of thousands of millions of billions of podcasts.
Well, maybe like hundreds of thousands and billions of data. That's more accurate.
I don't care about being accurate. All I care about is they go there and listen to our podcasts, which are all nerd stuff, if you haven't noticed by this one. But none of them are as classy as this podcast. But
I don't know. You can't beat it.
You know, your mileage may vary, so you might have to check out all of them to try to determine which is the classiest podcast. As a matter of fact, I level this challenge to people to be... It's the Be Like Gene challenge, and listen to every Two True Freaks podcast.
I was about to say, so Gene wins automatically by default?
Gene automatically wins. And then come back to us and... Well, basically, I just want to find out what's the classiest Two True Freaks podcast.
Okay,
besides ours, because I don't want people, like, kissing up to us going like, oh, you guys are the classiest by far. We know.
Well,
tell us what the second and third classiest podcasts are in Two True Freaks.
Gene, leave us feedback of the classiest podcasts on Two True Freaks. Mm-hmm.
And while you're there at twotruefreaks.com, check out our Amazon link. If you're an Amazon shopper, what you do is you save that link as your bookmark to Amazon. And then it's just like going to Amazon any other time you do, but we get a little cut of everything you buy, and it doesn't take no money away from you. So what you got to lose, sucker?
Sucker.
And we got a Facebook page. Come on and check our Facebook page. And we got the Two True Freaks Cantina on Facebook. We got... all kinds of stuff. We got a Twitter, a Two True Freaks Twitter page run by Gene. Ba-dum-ba-ba-dum-bum.
Gene!
And
I'm wondering how much you have to edit us saying it at the same time.
I never try to line it up. I just leave it however it is.
Okay.
Because
the last few times we've gotten really good.
We do really good a lot of the times. You're not getting hit it every time, and I just hope... I just want to say that to our listeners. We're just humans here.
We try. Gold star, you tried.
But where can they find you, fellow human?
Yep. Thank you, fellow human. You can find me at JS and Jedi on Twitter. I run our JS and Jedi accounts. You can also find me at Hope Molinets. I am also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com. And today I actually wrote an article. By the time this episode comes out, it'll already be running. But Star Wars Forces of Destiny, the new animated show that's coming with all the ladies, starts next weekend. Not next weekend. It starts on July 3rd, which is Monday for us. So they're going to be coming out on Disney Channel's YouTube every day until the 9th, where they're going to take all those shorts and put them together into one episode on the Disney Channel. So that is coming out, but the main part of my article was I was just pointing out the lack of Hera Syndulla merchandise from Rebels. There's still, like,
pretty much no harem merchandise, and I'm sitting here going, guys, she's a rebel general. She is the first person to ever fly a B-Wing. She escaped Ryloth after her mom died, and her dad's a fanatical crazy person. Hera is an amazing character, and she is strong, and she's smart, and she's brilliant, and she's tough. Like, why isn't there more Heras into the merchandise? Hashtag, where's Hera? So, like, it's just, so that was really the main point of my article. I was like, yay, I'm happy this is coming out, but I need more Hera stuff. And I literally wrote at one point in the article, damn it, I'm 30, I want to play with my Hera doll. So, yeah, so hashtag where's Hera. So, yeah, check us out over at whatthefangirl.com. And, yeah, yay. Come visit us. Say hi. Just, if you guys come to What the Fangirl when you read something, just be like, hey, I heard about it on Jacobs and Jedi. That'd be awesome. So, just so I know that people actually listen to the end of our show.
Yeah. All right,
what if
well,
people
next
just stop
week
listening now? Like, there's no one listening right now. They're well, just like, so we're just talking to no one.
They're listening to the last single second. So we're back underwater next week. Bring your bathing suits this time.
Yeah, and bring your earplugs, because we're going to get some Jar Jar.
Will it be a good Jar Jar, or will it be a bad Jar Jar?
Good Jar Jars or bad Jar Jars? That is the question. Alas, poor Jar Jar, I knew you well.
Wouldn't you love to be holding his skull in your hand right now?
Vader is just like, has it on his desk. And like, someone walks into Vader's office and they're like, oh, what's that? He's like, that was my friend.
It's an
ashtray. Don't cross me. This is what I do to my old friends. And they're like, ugh.
I'm getting it converted into a space vapor. And I'm going to vape through it.
Oh, man. So.
And when you vape through it and you draw through it, it goes, oh!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TwoTrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Where have you been, Lord? Run, my son. Oh, make my bed soon, for I'm weary from hunting.